Tappers, what's going on? It is Tuesday, November 13th, another edition of the Daily Tap. Happy to be talking to you on a chilly day here in Wisconsin. Hopefully it is not as cold wherever you are listening. We're going to talk about the NFC playoff picture. We're going to kind of sort through that mumbo jumbo. We're then going to look at the Giannis missed free throw issue. How much are we worried about that? And then finish the podcast off with Petty Beer Wars. Yes, you heard me right. We are going to be talking a little beer. All right, glad to get going. You know where to find us, snowtapwi.com. You can see all the podcasts. You can get the old ones. You can get the new ones. You can also subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, if you so choose. If you're a big fan and you want to get more podcasts in your life uploaded right away whenever we get it. We try to do the podcast at night and get it to you so you have it for your drive in the morning. Every now and again, like today, we do it in the morning, and it'll be there by the time you get into the office at the 8 a.m. hour. So either way, you're getting your podcast early and often and ready to roll. Speaking of ready to roll, let's waste no more time. All right, so the NFC playoff picture is one giant mess. So there were a couple teams that lost. It was very beneficial to the Green Bay Packers. And it is basically the Saints and Rams and then everybody else. The Saints and Rams are practically locks. It would take an act of God, really, for the Rams or the Saints to not make the playoffs. They are in. They're the definition of in, if you will. I mean, they are. I think the Saints are a little bit better than the Rams at this point, but those two teams are not missing the playoffs. After that, it gets a little messy. You have Washington, who's leading the NFC East, and you just don't know how good Washington is. If Washington is sort of a fraudulent team, are they a team that actually is pretty good? It's quite unknown. Alex Smith, though, just wins games. You have the upstart Chicago Bears, who have three losses. They're in the mix right as the four seed. Then you have Carolina, who dropped a game, which was huge because now Carolina is kind of back in the pack. All of a sudden, that door in the NFC creaked open, and the Vikings are there at number six at a 5-4 clip. The Green Bay Packers are right there behind them at 4-4-1. So it's an interesting race. There are other teams that we're going to talk about that, you know, basically there's a lot that can happen this week. I was looking at the schedule and I really think that this is one of those weeks where we're going to know a lot more. The path is going to be clear. We're going to have teams eliminated, teams flourishing, and we'll head into that final week of November with a better picture. Bill Barnwell actually wrote a really good column. I'd recommend that on ESPN.com about this playoff race. He listed the Packers as hopeful, basically pointed out, you know, they do have one of the easiest schedules down the stretch. They have had their own issues winning on the road. You have to play Seattle and Minnesota the next 2 weeks. If you were to lose both those games and you're 4-6-1, you're basically going to have to do the Aaron Rodgers run the table, the sequel. So that's kind of why this week, I think more so than next week. Next week's really, really important, and don't get me wrong, but we've seen how the Packers have struggled in Minnesota, and it just seems I have less confidence in them winning that game, although I do think Minnesota's not that good of a team. That said, I think this week is even more important. Like, this week is so important for the Green Bay Packers. You know, it's a short week. I get it. But can they actually cure those road demons? Can they get rid of the road issues? And then they pretty much eliminate Seattle from playoff contention, as well as they're right on the heels of the Vikings and Bears. If the Vikings were to win on Sunday, and beat the Bears, which is a great primetime game. If they were to win, then all of a sudden the NFC North is wide the hell open. All of a sudden we have this wide open NFC North race, because then the Bears are at even keel with the Packers and with the Vikings and Vikings. I was like, there's not a third team. But no, they're... That's a really interesting race, and you probably are wanting to cheer for the Vikings. Now, if the Bears were to win, that does still help the Packers. It's a win-win situation for the Packers on Sunday night, because if they win, they have to take care of business first. But if they take care of business first, and even if they don't, I think then if the Packers were to lose to Seattle, then I think you're cheering against the Vikings. Then you'd prefer the Vikings not to win. Put the Vikings at 5 losses. Then all of a sudden, the Sunday night game next week in Minnesota becomes an elimination game of sorts. And then if the Packers do lose again, they are really buried and will have to have everything break right for them in the month of December. Has happened before for Green Bay, but how many times can you hope that that's going to be an actual thing for them? They have to, like I said, it's imperative they win on Thursday. I think people realize how big a game this is, but this, if you really look at that playoff picture, it really matters for the Packers to do this. And the other thing too is, like, they have an easy December schedule. Like, they could potentially run the table. Yes, they do have the Bears. They do have the Falcons. I'm not really that worried about Atlanta, who comes to Lambeau in the middle of December. That just feels like a game the Packers would have to have, and the Packers should win. But then you do have to go to Chicago. That's probably the main game on the schedule. But you play an Arizona team that had packed it in by then. You play a Falcons team who, if they could potentially be in real trouble. So they're 4-5. They, as Barnwell said in his column, they slipped in the banana peel. But they play the Cowboys this week. Now, if they were to lose to the Cowboys, they then have to go to New Orleans on Thanksgiving. And if that were all the case, then they could easily be sort of mincemeat by then. And then that's sort of a free square again for the Packers. You have the Jets in Detroit. So you have four teams that have really, like, at that point of the season, packed in. And potentially you have four wins sort of hanging out there. That would get you to 8 wins. And then you have a Bears, Vikings, and Seattle are all toss-ups and all on the road where you've struggled all year. So Packers really have to figure out the road woes. And who knows? I realize that two of those games were – it's like, how much do you buy into the road thing, right? Redskins, top team in the NFC East. Okay. And they're much better than I expected. Granted, the Packers came out sloppy. They could have maybe won that game. They just got hit in the mouth and didn't really know how to respond. You would have beat Detroit if Mason Crosby didn't lose his powers for a Sunday. That's a win for the Packers. If Mason Crosby doesn't lose his powers, they missed 5 field goals. They lost by 9 points. You do the fucking math. And then the Rams, I mean, they were very close on beating the Rams. They were a Ty Montgomery fumble away from Aaron Rodgers trying to create some magic and see if he could take his team down the field and win the game. And then you had the Patriots, which was a pure loss. And that one, you can just chalk up that they lost that football game. So, really interesting week for the Packers as well as the rest of the NFC. Like I said, 1-1 is a must in the next 2 weeks. You could say, well, yeah, they could run that table, but let's not put it at chance. Let's not have run the table be the thing. If for once the Packers couldn't have their backs up against the wall and try to do it the right way. But, you know, it's never easy with Green Bay. Another thing I want to note, I don't think the Eagles are making the playoffs. I'll be stunned if the Eagles make the playoffs. They're at 4-5 right now, I think. 4-5 or 4-4. And they have to play the New Orleans Saints and the Los Angeles Rams down the stretch. It just does not seem like this Eagles team has all the pieces. It seems like the Carson Wentz injury has sort of thrown things off. They have no running game what to speak of. I really think the Eagles are not going to be a playoff team. I'll be surprised if they return to the playoffs after making the Super Bowl the year prior. Although I would not count them out to get the Super Bowl again in the next year, because I think it's just one of those down years. And I think the adjustment to Carson Wentz has been tougher than the media has talked about. Moving on, Giannis Antetokounmpo. So Giannis is struggling a little bit at the free throw line. And I don't know how much of a concern this is yet, but he's 5 of 16 from the line last two games. He missed five free throws against Denver. He did not make a single throw. He was 5 of 11 against the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, some could say, well, it's not his home gym, and, you know, maybe the rims look weird to him or whatever, and it threw him off. But you can't have that from your star player. First of all, your star player needs to make his bearings at the line. Ask James Harden. That's why James Harden has these gaudy stat lines, is because he gets to the line and he rarely misses free throws. I'm not saying Giannis needs to be an 80% free throw shooter, but he definitely needs to be 70% down, especially in most games. I mean, he is a 71% shooter as of, I think, Sunday. I probably has changed. He's probably down into the high 60s with the struggles, but he needs to be making free throws 7 out of 10 times, especially in games that are destined to be close. I mean, if he only misses two free throws against the Clippers, Bucks probably win that game. I mean, that's kind of how crazy that sounds, but the Bucks probably have enough to win that basketball game. Thankfully, against Denver, we don't have to use that. Well, if he made his free throws, the Bucks win the game. They won it without him, but that's, you can't play that fast and loose. So I don't know if things are broken there. I don't think it's like a Markel Fultz situation where the guy just can't shoot at the line. But if he continues to do this, you are going to see a hack of Giannis, and you're going to see people force Giannis Antetokounmpo on the line. And Giannis knows that, and Giannis works hard. I have all the confidence in the world that Giannis figures it out. And it might be nice that the next 8 out of 10 are at the home gym, and you get a little more time to just work on your craft. You're not in hotels. You're not out and about gallivanting, and you just have time to bunker down and work on those free throws. I'm sure I'll work on some other stuff, but that is definitely a big thing for Giannis going forward, especially if the coaches want to change some of his mechanics. They think that maybe, you know, it's a little off. You have some time to work on that, especially with all those home games. I'm not advocating for that, but those guys know way more than I do. All right. Moving on to a fun topic, petty beer wars. So maybe not exactly fun who you asked to, but I saw a story yesterday. I didn't blog it. I needed a topic today. I was like, all right, this is great. So there is a lawsuit going on right now between Miller Coors and PBR. Yes, Miller Coors and Pabst Blue Ribbon are suing each other. So PBR was produced at a Miller Coors facility. They also produce things like Lone Star, Natty Light, a few other cheap beers that they would just produce at this big plant. And it was a sort of a good faith move for them. Well, Miller has decided to maybe shut down these plants. I don't think they like the fact that Pabst Blue Ribbon has become as popular of a beer as Miller Lite or Miller High Life. And now they're saying, well, we're going to shut it down. And it would cost millions upon millions of dollars to Pabst. Pabst needs these brewers. This has been a good faith agreement since 1991. And I get, from Miller's perspective, they signed it in 91. Like, no one drinks Pabst Blue Ribbon. We're fine. We can make this shit not a problem at all. Like, who cares? Like, there's going to be a few out there, but at the end of the day, people are still going to go home with their Miller Lights or their High Lifes. They're not going to worry about PBR. Well, then a shift happened. A few years ago, you know, hipsters started drinking PBR. Hipsters have now moved on to Hams. The Hams is sort of the cheap beer of choice for the hip generation. But PBR is still really popular. People get PBRs all the time. And so the idea that Miller might try to shut down PBR and shut down their operation is fucking ridiculous. I mean, come on, guys. Like, can we find a way to get along? I get that Miller is losing, basically, like, we're producing stuff for the competition and we're going up directly against PBR and they're closing in and we want to shut them down. And that's kind of how Miller Coors and Anheuser-Busch live. I mean, they live in this monopoly state. I mean, look at just all the different examples of how these guys have worked around tavern leagues and worked around, you know, different craft brewing. They try their damnedest to avoid, you know, any sort of real competition. So hopefully that we can have a resolution here. Hopefully we will not get PBR taken away from us. I will say, if PBR was taken away, I wouldn't exactly miss it. I like PBR, but it's not my favorite. I would probably choose a Miller Lite over a PBR if you were to say which one. But let's just not like act like an asshole, Miller Coors. I was cruising for that. I had nearly said it a couple times. I was like, don't say it. But yeah, don't be an asshole, Miller Coors. That would be appreciated. All right, that does it for the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about the Bucks homestand. We'll also look ahead to Packers Seahawks. Also recap the Badgers' first big game. They'll be playing Xavier tonight in the Gavitt games. All right, take care of yourselves. Have a good Tuesday. We'll talk tomorrow. Later.